Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
So happy throwback Thursday. I have to apologize.
Hi, everybody.
So the way Kevin and I do this is there's a clock. I'm watching a clock. And so Kevin and I will talk until the clock hits an even number. And so Kevin and I were literally in the middle of a sentence and we just stopped. So we were talking about last night's election results.
Hello, politics.
So I was saying to Kevin, I stayed up till 5 in the morning watching.
Wow. Yeah, and I know that that was a long day for you, my friend, because you had woken up at about 5 o'clock the previous morning because everybody, our good friend Robert Schneider, were you the first in line at your poll, my friend?
I was the first in line at my poll.
And what time did you get to your polling place in New York City?
5:50. 5:50.
A.M., my friends. Now, as many of you know, Rob loves musical theater. He loves records. He loves all of the stuff that we all love. But this man was a poli-sci major. And this is a love of politics on another level that I love. I listen to podcasts about it, Rob. I have Twitter only for my political stuff. Now, you like get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm just so impressed. And I just think
Thank
that's
you.
Really commendable.
Thank
and I
you.
Think you're an inspiration to all of us.
Oh, my God.
But the dedication
you
have to it. But the funny thing is if you're those of you who might know him, but you don't, it's not something you talk about all the time. It's a very private thing for you. It's not something that
I'm holding myself to show that it's private
until it's the day. But then I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, yeah. I forget that you're like
I
this
know.
Crazy closet politician. Political.
You've outed
like
you me.
You don't talk about Rachel Maddow like all day long. You're not like, oh, did you watch Rachel last night? You have your own very like different.
I am a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, but I can't watch Rachel Maddow all night.
It's like sacrilegion.
I'm like, I need
That's funny.
Spice it up. I like Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews is my favorite because he's always yelling and angry about something.
It's totally.
This reminds me of the election in 1960 when Blair Brown said to Joe Smith, am I right? Okay. And you're like, what did he say?
But he's mad.
But he's mad and he's angry about something. But
well,
God bless him. So anyway,
well, God bless you for all that. And
and your lovely wife, you guys actually go out and you're in all the marches and stuff. So you do it throughout the whole year and then I get her involved in election time.
All right then.
Politics and theater are very similar, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think so.
It's very dramatic.
Yeah, I mean like politicians are certainly very dramatic and they have to interact with a lot of people and they have to like adapt to whoever, like you adapt to a part or, you know, in the play and you have to, you know, pretend like you're that person. I think politicians, there's an element of pretend a little bit, like their public persona and stuff, you know.
I agree with you.
No.
I agree with you. So anyway, I was up till 5. I woke up at 5. I was up till 5. And then
you
I
watched
crashed.
The Return
till
5. I bet. Oh, my gosh. So, wow. I feel like you've also seen a lot of theater the past couple. I feel like you've been every night you're like at the theater.
I'm at the theater every night. I want to be seen by everyone. Yes. My limousine pulled off in front of the George Abbott and out I came. I smiled and I said, happy opening to one and all. Yes, yes, a happy opening to you, Helen Hayes.
I wish you guys could see this right now.
A happy opening to you, B. Lily. Yeah, I've been
it's
to the
really
theater.
Good, guys. Been, you I've should see it. It's a pretty funny.
I picture him wearing like a smoking scarf and a cigarette holder.
An ascot. You have to have an ascot on
for
sure.
Yes, I was in a production of Happy Birthday with Helen Hayes in 1902.
Little Nathan Lane crossed with... Oh, sorry, I'm just trying to...
Yeah, no, I try to figure out who it is. Yeah, maybe it is.
Nathan Lane, but it's also
my goatee.
Good.
I don't know who it is, but we'll figure it out. His name is Reginald McDaniel III.
So what
the great
did you see
McDaniel
that you...
clan. What have I seen? I saw... Well, tonight, I was so lucky I got to see Debbie Gravitt's show.
Your favorite voice.
Oh, my God. My favorite voice at Birdland. She was amazing. She did a scat section and threw in the name Rob and waved to me during the scat. So I felt pretty good about myself.
You're a liar. You're a liar.
I swear to God. So I felt pretty good about myself.
You're like...
No,
you're
I saw...
Like, 15-year-old self was just like jumped for joy.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? Please, like, you know, I was thinking about that tonight. The fact that I was like, you know, I sound so Pollyannish, but
nope,
you know, growing up and listening to like Debbie, and then being like, oh my God, I actually know Debbie, was kind of a cool thing.
She's like, excuse me, ask you to back about Rob.
Yeah, I was like, hey, Debs. Hey, Debs. I'm going to dabby grab great. It. It's a dance move. So anyway, no, that was great. And then I have to recommend this to everybody. I saw The Prom.
I'm seeing it on Saturday, matinee.
Oh, Kevin.
Caitlin, I've been teaching Caitlin since she was 16. Caitlin Kinnunen.
Oh, really?
I've been her, for 10 years I've been her coach since she was in Spring Awakening back in the original.
Oh, the original. Oh, my God. Listeners, I don't want to give anything away, Kevin. The Prom to me is one of the most joyous theatrical experiences you will have this entire season.
That's what I've been hearing.
It is so filled with love. The heart is so big. Yes, there are flaws like there are with everything. The positive outweighs any negative that you might find. Beth Level, of course, is a genius.
She's incredible.
But I have to give shout outs to Brooks Eshmankis, who his performance in this is wonderful. He will get a Tony nomination. If they put him in the featured category, it might be an actual win for him, because I think Santino Fontana is probably going to win for Tootsie unless something amazing happens.
And he deserves, and Brooks deserves the accolades. He's been around forever.
He's so funny. He plays an actor named Barry, who is the leader of helping this lesbian girl go to the prom that has been canceled by the town. It is so Beth, and of course our Beth, the Beth we've had on the show who you've worked with, is so amazing. It's ridiculous. So The Prom, I think, is going to be a hard sell. I really do. I think because it's a new musical, and I think people are always a little wary of new musicals.
Yeah.
Go see it. Go
An
see
original.
It.
It's, I mean,
An
it's,
original.
Yes, it's based on a true story, but they really, the part with the stars and Broadway fading, it's original. It's
not
an original
movie.
Musical.
It's not a
we
movie.
We got to celebrate that. And it's the people I know that have seen it said, it's just overjoyed. It's just a love letter to our business and what we do. And,
Bring
and I'm
tissues.
Happy to see such great theater icons in their prime on stage doing the character acting at the best. Josh Lehman, who also is so funny. I mean,
Josh is great. Josh is wonderful. It's really a marvelous experience. So go see that. What else have I seen? I saw that. I saw, God, what else did I see? I'm so sorry. I usually have a list with me. I don't remember everything else that I
saw. That's okay, Rob. We'll talk about that next week.
But I
wanted to talk about Prom because I'm seeing that Saturday. So I'll report
good.
Back next week.
Oh, no. I saw the Mike Birbiglia. New show, the new one.
This one, yeah.
It was wonderful. I had never seen him before. He was fantastic. It's all about him coming to the process of understanding that he's going to be a dad for the first time. Oh. It's marvelous. It's really great. It's a solo piece, and it is wonderful.
Nice.
That is that. Shall we jump into our favorite things?
Let's do it.
Who wants to go first, Kev?
Oh, I'll shoot this out there. You know, once again, I'm going to say I'm surprised we haven't talked about this. And I guess you could say that this favorite thing, it was a bit inspired by current events, with not political stuff, but something that has happened in the news most recently. And my favorite thing is not an album. It's not a show. It's not a YouTube clip. It's only a couple times have we actually used a place. And you probably can guess it right away because this place has been in the news the last couple weeks. It's a very special place to both you and I. I think I go there a couple times a year. Have you figured it out yet?
Not Brigadoon.
No. Brigadoon, Brig. No, the Drama Bookshop.
Kevin, I'm so happy one of us is doing this. Yes, go ahead. Yeah. Take it away, Kev.
Well, no, we both can, but I want to celebrate the Drama Bookshop, this amazing mecca of information and knowledge that is located in Midtown. It's been in Midtown since like the early 2000s, 2003, I think it moved there. As long as I've been in New York, it's always been in that location on 40th Street. However, it's been in the news lately because the rent's getting too damn high, and they can't afford to be there anymore. And they posted an announcement that in the beginning of 2019, they're probably going to have to leave. And, you know, of course, the theater community rallied. Lin rallied around them. Lin-Manuel famously wrote in the Heights in the basement theater down there. And he helped them out when they had a leak in 2016. And now, he went in there and, like, signed every single thing he could find with his name on it. But that's, of course, not going to be enough. But I just think I'd rather – yes, the community is rallying together. There's a Kickstarter. And yes, support the bookshop. But I also want to just talk about how this place was the center – of so many theatrical lives for so many decades. You know, when I first moved here and I had my scene study class, you know, at T. Schreiber Studios, of course, or no, even the one before that was like a private class. And of course you would be like, you have to meet with your scene partner, and you're like, it was like 2003 in the spring, and it'd be like, yeah, let's meet at the Drama Bookshop. but think about all of the lives and all of the little,
yes,
you know, fledgling actors that go there. And it's not just a place that you sells books, but it's a place that you go to. It's a place you sit and you interact with other people, and you meet at, and you, I don't know. And this, and of course they do great things. They have a theater in the basement. And I just think that a place like that is almost like a library, or almost like an arts, you know, it's more than just a store, you know. Yeah. It's a place where I mean, I remember exactly the first time I went and seeing, but you kind of see theater people there. And I remember seeing, oh my God, there's so-and-so, you know, of course it's like the nerdy, like so-and-so, but it's like, oh, the book writer of that one musical that was off Broadway, but they're there. You know what I mean? I totally would, you know, but that's what the Drama Bookshop was. It's a place that brings people together. Cause it's just,
yeah,
we're all in the same tribe.
Yeah. So,
and I think that's probably part of the reason. Anyway, it was started allegedly in 1917, but really it was just like on theater tables in a lobby. And the rumor goes that it was the Anta Theater, which is now the August Wilson, except the problem is that theater wasn't built in 1917. So really it's got one of those legendary starting stories. But it was the New York Drama League is what started it. It was a lady then, French, you know, owned it and then created a business out of it in the 50s. But
her name is Lucille Winchester. And I saw her. I was there in 1492.
God, you just...
Sorry.
This is like the other guy's sister. This is like her. It's like... She's like very solid.
I'm trying to do James Mason, but it's not working. It's constipated more than anything. Sorry, go ahead with your drama bookshop story.
I'm done. Thanks for giving some life to it. It's done. The Drama Bookshop, y'all, let's celebrate it. If you go buy some books.
Yes.
They have online orders, and Rob can regale you.
Where's online?
Now that I'm done with my favorite thing, I saw My Dinner with Herb, the Herb Villages movie on HBO, which was a little like, but it's fine. But
he was a bastardization of me.
The sad thing is, he hated that he was known for that one phrase that we talked about on our show.
The blame.
The blame.
I had two phrases people knew. One was the blame. The other one was, I ordered this on rye.
I'm sorry, guys. I did it. I can't believe I brought it back.
At the Carnegie Deli. One time, I beat Ricardo Montalban on the kneecap.
Ricardo Montalban.
We were doing an episode of Fantasy Island. I beat him on the knees. And he said, oh, it hurts. What can I do to relieve my pain? I said, Bob, go to the drama bookshop on 40th and 8th. Help support them. Buy a book. Buy The Artist's Way. Or What Can I Deduct? An informational guide for taxes and actors. On the episode that week was Marianne Mobley and Carlton Jump from WKRP in Cincinnati. And they all marched to the drama bookshop boss and bought books.
Good tie-in. Wow.
Thank
you. You know what? You know, sometimes I don't get it, but that time you really got me. That time
was good. I'm happy I made you laugh. Like, I'm on three drinks from Debbie's show, so I'm still feeling it.
Thank you, Debbie. All right, your turn. Debbie. Was that my favorite thing?
No, that was... No, I think that's wonderful. No, you're absolutely right. I'm so worried about the drama bookshop. I hope to, you know, listen, I understand that everyone is buying things online now. I totally understand that. But come on. You, like you said, Kevin, this was a meeting place. It was an institution. You would go there to get, you know, the books on what's coming out next season, where you are auditioning, the Ross reports and all that stuff.
There's got to be a place for that. There has to be a physical place for that, you know,
And very quickly, if I may, a shout out to their staff, because you would walk into their staff and be like, hey, I'm 25 years old and I need a dramatic contemporary monologue. And off the top of their head, they would look at you and give you like 10 freaking monologues to do. I'm sorry. They were amazing. So
yeah, I agree.
Oh, God, I hope the drama bookshop comes back. Don't get rid of it, folks. Okay.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So my favorite thing is a person.
Bring it. Oh.
It's a person. Now, you're going to think this might be kind of odd, but please go with me on it. This person is somebody who I've recently started to discover how brilliant they were. They have never done a Broadway show, although they are an actor. They are an actor, and they were one of the actors who really helped instigate the movement of drag performance, even though they did not like to be called a drag performer. They were not a female impersonator. They were an actor who just happened to wear a dress. This person was like, yes, of course I can play a woman. I can play a tree if I'm asked. I think this person is absolutely fantastic. I just read a biography on them, and so I wanted to celebrate them. What are you laughing at?
I know, because I was going to make a joke, but because this is like a serious thing, I can't make a joke.
What's the joke?
I wanted to be like, is it Steve Brinberg, Barbara Streisand?
It's not. Although Steve was at Debbie's show tonight.
He was. Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah. Hey, Steve.
Of course he was. That's
he was
amazing.
At Debbie's show.
Hey, Steve.
No, it is not the wonder. But you know what? If it wasn't for the person we're going to talk about, there wouldn't be people like Steve Brinberg.
Exactly.
This Amen person has passed away in 1999, but a lot of their stuff is now surfacing on YouTube. And one of them features Broadway World's very own Richie Ridge, the one and only Richie Ridge. This is a gentleman who I think you should all go to YouTube and look at, because I think he is so funny. And your wife works with Sasha Velour, so this is all part of the legacy.
Right.
A lot of people, I think, feel that drag performance, which I consider to be a theatrical performance, kind of started with RuPaul, or a lot of people have that misconception. And as brilliant as RuPaul is, that's not the case.
I
would like to celebrate an individual by the name of Charles Pierce. His name is Charles Pierce. Charles Pierce was one of the 20th century's foremost female impersonators and did hysterical impersonations of people like Betty Davis and Mae West and Tallulah Bankhead and Carol Channing and Katharine Hepburn and Joan Crawford. He actually sold out the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion in Los Angeles. He played a bunch of New York and San Francisco's big gay clubs. I think he should be remembered. And thankfully, a lot of his stuff is now popping back up on YouTube.
Yep. I just recently saw some. Yep.
I would like everybody to go and take a look at the wonderful Charles Pierce, because I think he's absolutely fantastic. Now, you might watch him and go, he doesn't sound like the people he's impersonating. And that was a big hang up for me at the beginning. And then I realized it's really not about the actual mimicry as it is getting the essence of the individual. And so for that, I think he should be celebrated. So anyway, the person that I wanted us all to look at today is the wonderful Charles Pierce, a female impersonator, although he hated that term. So I'm going to call him an actor who just happened to play the part of a female. How's that for you?
Is there any are there any clips we should look out for?
Well, we've talked about I mean, if you type in blonde, the Hollywood blondes, type in Charles Pierce and Hollywood blondes, you're going to get a lot of cool stuff popping up for him. And then just go down the rabbit hole, and that's Charles and Pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E. One more time, P-I-E-R-C-E. There's a wonderful book on him that was written by one of his assistants, which I think is fabulous. And that book is, like how I said that it's fabulous.
Fabulous.
It's fabulous, queen. So now, is anyone here? Anyone happy? No? No one's laughing at me anymore? That's okay. Is anyone listening?
What are you doing?
The book is called Write That Down. The book is called Write That Down. That's the name of the book. I was looking for the book, man. The comedy actress Charles Pierce. But that's my focus.
It's so good that we keep that name, and we because you're right. It's not like he ever got to that level of fame. Even like even Lady Bunny or Divine or you know, like that. Yeah. But it's like – but I'm so glad that some of his stuff is captured on YouTube. I mean captured on YouTube, but put on
YouTube.
That was
captured on YouTube. Absolutely. So anyway, that's the person that I want us to take a look at. So mine was Charles Pierce. You are?
Oh, I'm sorry.
What happened?
Drama Bookshop. Sorry, I lost you for a second. Mine is the Drama Bookshop. Sorry, everybody, you can't tell. Let's celebrate the Drama Bookshop. And
where did I go?
Oh my gosh.
Where did I go? I went to the Drama Bookshop with not only Charles Pierce, but Suzanne Pleshette. Suzanne Pleshette. That's a funny name, boss.
Boss.
One time, Ricardo Montalban teabagged me. Doing
did you say teabagged?
He teabagged me.
Oh god!
Doing a episode that featured Vivian Vance and Adrian Barbeau.
Only like three people. Probably John Moss is like laughing so hard right now. But like, it's amazing though that like the three people that will get these, those are good. Those are good.
Thank you. My feeling is the nicher the better.
Oh, I definitely.
You want a niche joke?
The reason why we joke about Angel and only about the other two people get that joke.
I was not in Angel. However, I did a summer stock production with Junkin Lee of Blaine and Fancy.
Of what?
Blaine and Fancy. I was up for Fluhuli as a doll.
As a doll?
It was not Baba Cook. It was acclaimed actress.
Yes, and I'm gonna yes and this one.
He was acclaimed actress Betty White, but on closer inspection, it was Gavin McLeod in a wig. Gavin McLeod in a wig. Is this thing on?
He's doing stand-up now.
All right.
So that's it. Once again, my thing is the wonderful, fabulous, amazing Charles Pierce. Keep, like you said, Kevin, keep his honor alive. And please, let's keep the Drama Bookshop alive.
My favorite thing today is Rob Schneider. Good night, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.